Sup, thrill seekers. I'm Connor.
And I'm Dev.
And you're listening.
To mass hysteria.
It's
Connor set off the alarm for his overmodulation, so it's
actually
going to be a
just my
fun.
beautiful vocals, but we can call it overmodulating. That's fine.
It's going to be a fun epi. Welcome or welcome back, thrill seekers, to another episode of Mass Hysteria, your favorite New England podcast.
I would just like to remind you that you are all stars in our book. So, to return the favor, it'd be great if you could give us some stars.
Connor,
Stars from our stars. Wink,
I
wink.
didn't know you were riding a segue. That was great. Actually, though, well, we did get a couple new reviews, and some of them were really funny. So, thanks, people that submitted them. We really appreciate it. And like always, if you are enjoying the show, please, we would love if you submitted a review, if you followed us on Instagram.
If you threw us a couple dollars on
Oh,
our
true.
Anchor
Connor's
link,
gonna go.
we'll include the link below. I will shamelessly plug money because we're broke
Because
and
Connor's
gas is
trying to go through
expensive.
school. Trying Connor's trying to go through
Exactly.
school.
You think this is like easy for me?
He says he wears the same outfit he's been wearing for
For the
every
past 3 days.
episode.
Yes.
Please, can you throw some money so Connor can have a shower? Okay, just kidding. But actually, there are a couple ways you can support us. We will link them below if you're interested. But the way that really helps us is if you can review us. It really does
But also
help.
the money.
Oh my God. You guys see what I'm working with here? Okay, so keeping in theme with what we've been covering, so. If you're like wondering why are they covering all these cold cases, or you're new, or you haven't been listening to a couple of our prior episodes, we are focusing on cold cases because it's going to be a theme in the new series that we will be premiering soon. Are we slightly behind schedule? Maybe, maybe not.
I
You'll
feel
never
like
know.
we should put out a trailer for our fans soon.
That's true.
We'll work on
That's
that this
true.
week.
Our thrill seekers. But no, in all seriousness, we've put a t I mean, I think we've put more time into this than we've ever put into anything else.
Relationships,
Life,
lives, everything. Yes, this
exercise,
is,
definitely.
we've poured everything into
Everything
this.
into this. So it's gonna be awesome. But yeah, so we will. Maybe we'll give a sneak peek soon. That's a good idea. I knew I'd keep him around for something. So yeah, we're keeping with this theme because it's been actually very inspirational that a lot of, especially New England, I can't speak for the rest of the country because I don't know the answer, but New England, a lot of the cold case units are kind of getting new funding. They're kind of coming back to try to solve some of these cases as of
Yeah,
recently.
Maine has a cold case unit too, I think.
Maine, yeah, and a lot of the Massachusetts cold case units are really active as of a couple years ago, which is awesome to see. So we wanted to stick with the theme of what our series is going to be like. And we hope it's going to be a totally new name. Anyway, we'll start to tease out some of that information. Good idea, Connie. He's always known for being the tease.
That's me. I can occasionally throw out a good idea and I'll shamelessly plug money.
That was his Tinder bio that got him the boyfriend of his dreams. But yeah, so we are going to Massachusetts today. Have you ever been to Massachusetts? I'm just kidding. We're from
Never, never
Massachusetts if you're
been.
new here. We are going to New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Oh, down on the South Shore.
So, I have to put this disclaimer out there because, the thought of being sued, a little over alarm. No, I'm just kidding. We wouldn't get sued, but this is still officially not closed. You can make up your mind when we go through what happened. The arraignment is scheduled as of a couple of weeks ago, or might have been actually, sorry, it was end of January, so this is over a month and a half ago. But I just need to put this out there. This is all alleged at this point, okay?
No one's been officially charged or
Officially
sentenced to
convicted,
anything.
yes,
Convicted, yeah.
exactly. So, Rose Marie Moniz, she was a single mother. She was 41. She had a son. I don't know if she had another child. I tried to find out, but I know
We
for a
know she
fact
had
she had
one
a son,
son.
yeah. She had short, thick, dirty blonde hair. Kind of honestly, her haircut was kind of like my mom, when you probably met my
Oh.
mom, yeah. So she had a you know, doing the best she could, had a lot of things going for her, was a single mom, raising her son in the early 2000s. So March 23rd, 2001, her dad comes to pick her up for an appointment. I think it was just like some kind of standard appointment. He was helping drive her, whatnot. And so he goes up to the door and he, you know, notices she's not coming out immediately. Just kind of knocks a couple times and then enters. And he's immediately kind of taken aback because the house is in disorder. There's things all over the place.
And this isn't like normal for her.
No, no. Yeah. And also I think like it's one thing, right? If you're in an apartment and you're like, hey, you know, I'm going through stuff and stuff separate.
Yeah, a little she's nowhere messy to be versus like ransacked is exactly. Like a different.
And she's nowhere to be seen. Her purse specifically was ransacked, and that was like out immediately when he walked in. He saw that her purse was strewn about.
That's kind of a dead giveaway.
So
something's going on.
Exactly. So he called her name. He didn't get any answer. He's kind of, I'm sure his heart's like racing. So he finds her in the bathroom, and she's covered in blood. She's like in a pool of her own blood.
Oh my God.
She had been, it was determined, bludgeoned to death.
Oh my God. With
a fireplace poker.
Jesus.
A conch shell and a cast iron kettle.
Oh, so brutal.
Brutal. Brutal. Remember the conch shell though. Okay. Her face was like completely broken in. She had blood coming from her, both of her ears.
Oh my God.
The majority of her money was stolen from her purse. And okay, this is the key here. There was no forced entry. So what does that usually mean?
Someone that you knew usually.
Exactly. So in 2019, we're going to talk about him at the end, but District Attorney Thomas M. Quinn III. I'm a big fan of him, at least from this article. I don't know if he's done anything controversial, but he's very pro, like, the community helping to solve cold cases. And he's been putting a ton of money, effort into the cold case unit. And so they've been reviewing more than 70 Bristol County cold cases, because it's in New Bedford, dating back to the 1970s. Wow. And so, I mean, we don't work at a cold case unit. I would assume, at least for this one, you know, they're probably thinking some of the ones that are more recent, like early 2000s.
Right. So hers was a cold case then.
A cold case at this point. Okay. So 2019, it's opened again.
Mm-hmm.
Good point, because we're going to jump around a little bit. So by 2019, that had been 18 years. But I think probably trying to solve a case that happened in early 2000s, you know, there's better DNA preservation. There's better, you know, just
in some ways, it's probably easier, yeah, than like a 1970s.
Exactly. Case. So her face showed, and this is very, this like has stuck with me since I read about it. Her face showed that she'd been beaten with a conch shell, because if you think about like the markings,
see the markings, yeah.
And it's all like the grooves and rivets, mm-hmm. and everything, or divots. So if we go back to 2001, if you jump forward 2 years, June 10th, 2003, it's close to around like, I want to say 11 at night, a neighbor hears a scream, and it's not coming from in the apartment unit, but it sounds like it's coming from like maybe slightly down the road, and it's like a piercing scream. And so one of the neighbors, they didn't name who it was, kind of like tilts or yeah, exactly, like looks out, peeks outside the window, like doesn't see anything immediately, and then kind of comes outside of the apartment and sees a woman covered in blood, like covered in blood, running up the street. She had been bludgeoned with a tire iron.
Oh my God.
Okay. But she somehow managed to escape. So the perpetrator in the crime took her to a secluded place. He like completely beat her up and robbed her. The woman, her name was Miss Maribel Martinez Alegria. And she, even though she had escaped the man and he wasn't there at the time, she remembered like what he looked like. Mm-hmm. She was conscious. She was, I mean, I'm just like floored that she was able to run after something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And so she, this was again, June 10th, June 31st, she kind of looks out her window and she swears she's seeing the man drive by her house like multiple times. And, she sees it once. She's kind of like, okay, maybe that was in my head. She sees it again. She's like, that's definitely the guy who you know, assaulted me and robbed me. And so her nephew jumps in the car and starts following the truck, because it's like a distinct looking truck, and he's driving a minivan. I'm like, this is a hero, this nephew, like defend your family, right? He's getting in the minivan, they're following the truck, they're getting a license plate, they're getting a description. So the truck, like, at this point, they're, like, kind of weaving around parts of, like, New Bedford, that area, and the truck is trying to lose him. And the nephew and his friends, there's a couple of his friends in the car, too, call the police, and they, you know, the officers...
Kind of keep them abreast of where they are
and stuff. They're also giving him a description of, like, where they think he's headed. So the officers are called in, and they're kind of starting to, you know, meet at where they assume he's going to end up. Before they even get close to the policeman, the truck hits a car, like, just sideswipes a car in an attempt to, like, lose the minivan. And then he crashes head-on at the next intersection into the police officer. The police officer was fine, but obviously, like, you just committed multiple crimes because you rammed into a police officer on purpose. So his name was David Reed. He was charged for... with assault, robbery, and ramming of a police cruiser. He was released on bail in 2004. But he never showed up because he fled where everyone goes, Florida. I'm just thinking of that because, like, I feel like it's spring break season and everyone goes down to Florida.
Okay, so he was released on bail, then never showed up for his trial.
Never showed up, fled. He's a fugitive now. Goes to Florida, then goes to Alabama. I don't know how this happens, but goes to Hawaii. And so he's... still, like, on the run for 11 years before they catch him. So they end up eventually catching him in Hawaii. It was actually Connor's sister that caught him. She lives in Hawaii.
Shout out, though. She lives in Hawaii.
We love you more. But, yeah, so he was caught in Hawaii, and he was extradited back to Massachusetts. But, and this is really sad, because you think, like, okay, well, he's finally going to get tried for what he did. Maribel had passed away a month ago. And so the charges were dismissed because they were dependent on her
positive ID.
ID, but also
testimony. Yeah,
exactly, her testimony. And so he does get charged with attempting to flee from the police.
Yeah, and
hitting a police cruiser. But that's
much more of a slap on the wrist than much like assault and
exactly, robbery. Like brutal, brutal assault and robbery. And then in 2016, he was sentenced to serve 3.5 to 4 years in state prison for those charges. And what happens when you go to prison, Connor? Connor's like, you eat a lot of food? No.
I don't know.
I'm teasing him because I just had to wait for him because he was eating multiple sandwiches for dinner, which is fine. But no, he was required to submit a DNA. So now his DNA is in the database, right?
How would I have known that happens to go to prison, honey?
Because if either one of us were to go to prison, it would be you. to be fair, it would be for something nonviolent. Connor would be like an Anna Delvey.
You would probably go, I do not have time for this. I do not have time for you. You would probably go for like fraud or something.
That's the same thing. So we're going for the same crime? Okay, so we're going for the
same thing, yeah.
We're not fraudsters, and I deflect, okay? Connor would be Connor Delvey. Sounds great. but no, in all seriousness, because he's now in the system, they have his DNA to match. So in 2019, when they reopen Rose Marie Moniz's case, they have his DNA, and they are able to match it.
Okay, because probably... Was the DNA not run in 2001?
No, because he hadn't actually been... charged with anything or caught for anything he had done before.
No, I get that, but I'm just interesting they wouldn't have gotten a hit on it like before
he hadn't committed any crimes before then.
Yeah, but still, like, so in
his like his
wait hit, when did he go back to jail
or prison? In 2016, so this
was okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
So he the way that they caught it was he was holding the conch shell. So I see what you're saying, like, did they get any hits when they initially ran it? Mm-hmm. They like I think they kind of, from what I read, swabbed it, but maybe didn't do like a super in-depth analysis of it. And then someone was like, hey, if he's holding the conch shell, let's like swab the inside of the conch shell.
Okay, so the second time they ran it, they were more thorough, maybe.
Yeah. And he also had her fingernails were tested and his DNA was under her fingernails. Okay. So he looks like Voldemort. And I'm going to say that because wait till you hear how, like, he's already a horrible person. I'm sure if you're listening, you're like, okay, this man clearly has no remorse. He's, you know, beating up women. He's robbing them. Already a bad guy.
Running away from police. He's a bad guy.
David, sit down. If you're listening and you're standing, David Reed was her half brother.
Really?
He was her half brother, and holy he crap. Was a pallbearer in her funeral.
Oh, and he my was God. The one that he killed was the murderer.
Her. Yes. So normally we do try to shy away from making comments on people's appearances, but this man looks like and is a living Voldemort. He, like, I when I read that, I had to read it three times. Yeah. And so, and you know what's even sadder is, like, he obviously committed this horrible act, but for the whole time leading up to them figuring out who committed the crime, they were, like, suspecting her son. Suspecting other family members.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he wasn't, like, called into question.
I don't know either, but
I guess maybe if he was a half-brother, I don't know, like...
But it completely devastated the family, but that makes a little bit more sense why she would have just let him in. It's her half-brother probably visiting, right? So, yeah, I was shocked to read that. But Thomas Quinn, like I said, he's the DA for Bristol County, and he is putting so many resources into the cold case unit that even though this story is... very sad, you know, she was tragically murdered, brutally murdered by someone that was in her family, it is kind of like hopeful that they're putting now
pieces together.
Yeah, they're putting all these, especially now that they have, even if there were no advances in technology, if you ran DNA like you were kind of saying in early 2000s, and then say it's someone that committed a brutal murder like that, I mean, if they weren't caught, right, high chances they're going to reoffend. Right. So then if they've been caught in the, like, 20 years since that's happened, then you're probably way more likely to get a hit.
And, like, and I would imagine, like, just because of the advances in technology since then, the format of stuff has changed. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine there's probably, like, a lot of crimes from, like, the early 2000s that could get solved now.
We love hearing about these cold case units because they have 70 cold cases, but they're you know, picking away them one on one. Yeah.
And having success.
But yeah. So if someone suggested, you know, why don't we swab the inside of the conch shell? Which, like, is honestly was his downfall. He used weapons that, like, would have had all of his,
right,
especially the conch shell, because that's, like, protected, right? If you're, like, grabbing inside the conch shell and then you drop a conch shell, your DNA is still going to be all, I mean, I know, like, DNA doesn't, like, rub off on the ground, or I don't know.
It kind of does to some degree. There's touch DNA.
But, like, for a conch shell specifically, it's, like, inside. It's going to stay inside unless someone cleans it out.
Right.
And so... I couldn't find what his motive was. Maybe he had a drug habit. Maybe he was, you know, it seems like this consistent. But then he robbed the other woman and assaulted her.
Yeah. Good point.
It's just so sad that I think the part that, like, made me, like, broke my heart was that they suspected other people in her family. Like, I can't imagine what that did to a family. And then he, and I know some people maybe aren't close with their half siblings. He was a pallbearer at her funeral, so he obviously had some role in her life.
Close, yeah.
So yeah, but this very recently, he's going to trial soon. He pleads not guilty.
So the trial hasn't happened yet.
No. So again, okay, this is alleged. Whatever.
It'd be interesting. Obviously, he's saying he's not guilty, so he's not really going to say.
Yeah, he's plea. I
Did you wonder the latest why? Update you just I saw. Really wonder why he did it.
I know. I was wondering that too. Which is why I guess he wouldn't have said it if he. Yeah, I guess I answered my own question. Money, if he's saying he's not guilty, he's not going to tell you why he did it. But yeah, I was, like, trying to think through what a motive would be. But I guess the only real link here is the robbery. So he needed money for something. But she seemed like a very kind, like sweet woman trying to make it.
Like, that's just, like, so sad. Like,
Why would you
just crimes always affect more than one person, but that's really sad. You know, a mother, a single mother, and, you know, her poor child is now going to have to carry that trauma through the rest of her life. Obviously, everyone in the family would, but to lose your mom, like, that's pretty tough.
But one thing that was really, I think, kind of, you know, I guess hopeful or enlightening to read in this too was the nephew just going to bat for his aunt.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm going to jump in the minivan and chase around this criminal in a huge truck.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think that's kind of a lesson, right? Like, in every story, there's these evil villains, but there are the heroes that help solve and bring justice to the family.
Since we started doing these things so much, I honestly, like, if I see someone being sketchy, I, like, take note of their license plate now. So is that bad?
So do I.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm just, like, very aware now.
Like, that's so weird. It looks a lot like Connor's license. No, but it is honestly, nowadays, you have to be aware of everything. There are, I don't know, I guess maybe we'll tease a little bit of what we're talking about, but I think one of the things that's been like humbling for us for our next project is we're kind of talking about how we basically grew up in these communities where people didn't lock their door.
We believed we were safe, and maybe we weren't as safe as we thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be like 10 years old riding my bike everywhere by myself, which like, granted, should be fine, but these are like roads that don't.
I don't know if I'd let my kid ever do that if I ever had a kid. I don't know if I would.
I'm like, here is your bubble wrap. You're going to have to put this on. Yeah. And you have this dog crate is the radius you're allowed to.
Exactly.
No, but it is honestly scary. Devin is not going
to put her children in a dog crate.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to have children. I'm just going to spoil my cats. No. If I did, though, I would actually, like, I have thought about this. Is it's just going to be different now because, like you said, we thought we were a lot safer than we were, which is not to say that people should live in paranoia, but you should be aware of what's going on around you. So in this episode of Devin Connor rambling about their thoughts, we will keep probably kind of focusing on some cold cases. We have some new stuff coming as well, but our new series has a lot to do with small towns. If you grew up in small town New England, keep your ears open. Send us a DM if you have kind of a wild story about something that happened to you when you were growing up in small town New England, because I feel like we all have, as the millennials say, same story, different fonts.
Exactly. I didn't know the millennials said that.
I just saw that recently, and I was like, as long as I'm not Comic Sans, I'm good.
Roman.
I'm Helvetica. until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.